wanted to take you to God's Word. I wanted to introduce you to this man. Actually, he's going to come and give his testimony. And I'm going to give his testimony for him tonight. And I want you to turn to Luke chapter 23. You know it so well. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verse 32. We're on Calvary's cross. We've been singing about the cross, the old rugged cross. I want to bring you to it this evening. And there were also two other malefactors, verse 32, led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they were crucified, and there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God? Seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Amen. And we hope God will bless again the reading of his word. Let's still our hearts in prayer. Father, we thank thee and we praise thee tonight for the joy of preaching the gospel. We thank you, Father, for the privilege of preaching the gospel. We thank you for the blessing of preaching the gospel. And Father, we thank you for the power of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And Father, for those that are in unbelief this evening, Father, we pray that you will hammer them with this great hammer of the gospel tonight. Father, we pray that you'll break them in pieces this evening. We pray that you'll pierce them to their heart tonight. We pray our Father God, as they hear the Word of God, as they hear the Gospel being preached, they will know that it's for their heart, for their soul, for this night, and for eternity. And Father, we pray that they will call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. So Father, bless us and help the preacher, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So often when we turn to this portion of Scripture, we either want to preach about the Lord, and I'll be doing that in a wee moment or two. Or we would want to turn to that thief that cried, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And those are the two probably that would occupy our thoughts if we were wanting to preach this portion of Scripture. But my mind is taken to the third on Calvary's cross. That thief that railed on him, that cried, if he be the Christ, save yourself and us. He saw everything, but he wasn't going to be moved. And on Calvary's cross that day, he witnessed four great things. Four great things. And I want to leave it with you this evening very, very, very simply. Just 15 minutes, I would think, would do it. First of all, he witnessed the greatest act of hatred. The greatest act of hatred. The world crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. The hatred of the world. And all of the demon hosts seemed to be congregated together and left upon the brow of this man that occupied the center cross on Calvary's hill that day. There seemed not to have been an ounce of hatred left out. It all was poured upon him. They had mocked him. They had jeered him. They had spat upon his face. He hung upon the cross, his face marred like no other man had ever been marred. His back left like a plowed field. And blood and spittle ran down his blessed face. And all the hatred that should have been projected upon these two thieves was projected upon the center cross. And this thief, he witnessed this great hatred. My, it says in Isaiah 53:7 about the Lord Jesus Christ, he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. He is brought to a lamb, as a lamb to the slaughter. Do you know who the most hated people group in the world are today? It's not the Muslims. It's not the gay community. The more they would want you to believe that, but it's not. It's not the evolutionists or the atheists. Do you know who is the most persecuted people group in the world today? The Christians. Hundreds of Christians every day are sealing their testimony with their blood. Persecuted throughout the world. Genocide in many parts of the world today. We're seeing just a wee bit of it, a wee bit of political persecution and social persecution today in our land, where everybody else has a say, but the Christian doesn't have a say. Why is that? Why is that, do you think? Because on Calvary's cross, all the hatred of the world was laid upon the Savior. And the Savior said, listen, they'll hate you because they hate me. Dear child of God, we need to spend a whole lot less time trying to please the world and a whole lot more time seeking to please the Lord. Don't we? We try to have our church in such a way that it pleases the world. And we try to organize this that it pleases the world. And we try to live outside church in a way that doesn't cause any ripples and doesn't cause any offense. And we try to water everything down. Please the Lord! Because you'll never please the world, because the world hates you. The world hates you. And on Calvary's cross, that thief, he witnessed the hatred of the world upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who was absolutely innocent. Pilate had said, I find no fault in him. He was absolutely innocent. And yet this thief says, I'm not going to let that move me. I'm going to stay the same. He witnessed the hatred of the world. But secondly, he witnessed the greatest act of love. The greatest act of love. He witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ dying on Calvary's cross for the sin of the world. The world had met the Savior with all of its hatred, with all of its rebellion, with all of its wickedness. And Jesus from Calvary's cross met this world with all of his love. All of his love. He cries, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. In Romans chapter 5 and 8 it says, But love commandeth his love, but God commandeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How many times, unsaved, have you witnessed the love of God? How many times have you been in a situation of difficulty and stress and you bowed the knee and you cried, God, help me! Help me! And God delivered you. And you knew His love. Every breath that you take is a mark of God's love for you. It is. For He holds the next one in His hand. I wonder how often you have sat in a meeting and watched the love of God transform a sinner. How many unsaved? I would say some people in here have saw more unsaved saved than many preachers have seen saved. I think there's unbelievers in here would have seen more people saved than preachers have seen saved. And the sad and gospel meetings, just as you're sitting tonight, and maybe you're one of them, and you've looked to the right hand, you've looked to the left, and you've saw a young man or a young woman or an older person broken down under the conviction of sin and weeping their way to Calvary. You've seen homes reunited. You've seen families pulled together. You have seen men who were drunkard. You have seen men who were wayward. You have seen women who were wayward and full of all the sin of the world. And you saw them transformed by the love of God. But you say it yourself. It's not going to move me. I'm not going to let it move me. On Calvary's cross, the Lord, that thief, that day saw the greatest act of love. Could you imagine it being there that day? And realizing what was happening. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? To have stood there, listened to the cries of the Savior from the cross. The centurion was moved. He says, surely, surely this was the Son of God. The very dead in the grave were moved. For Calvary. The very sun in the sky was blotted out at Calvary. But that thief said, it's not going to move me. I'm not going to let it move me. I witnessed the greatest hatred in the world. I witnessed the greatest act of love in the world. But it's not going to move me. But he saw something else that day. He witnessed the greatest act of grace. The greatest act of grace. He listened to his cohort and cry, Lord, remember me. With the last breath, with the last ounce of strength, in the last moments of life, when a man had lived such a wretched, foul, sinful life, and in that moment realizes that he's a sinner, realizes that he's bound for hell, realizes that the one beside him, the one who is the closest to him at the very point of his death, is the one who can save him. And he cries, Lord, remember me. No big prayer. No rhyming off of all the sins that he had committed. Just, Lord, remember me. And that thief on the cross that day, he heard the Lord turn to that other thief and say, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. My, he saw selfishness being turned into surrender. He saw mocking being turned into love. He saw desperation turning into peace at Calvary's cross. And yet he said, I'm not going to let it move me. I'm not going to let it move me. You're saved. You trusted him. But it's not going to move me. It's not going to change me. How many people, my dear unsaved friends, have come to you and have said, I got saved last night at the mission. I got saved last night in the gospel meeting. I got saved last night at my bedside. And you have said, it doesn't bother me. I'm not interested. It's not going to move me. That day at Calvary. That thief on the cross. He witnessed the greatest act of hatred. Indeed, this world has ever seen. He witnessed the greatest act of love this world has ever seen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he witnessed the greatest act of grace, soul being saved. But he saw something else that day. He witnessed the greatest act of accomplishment. The greatest act of accomplishment. For he heard the Lord Jesus Christ say, it is finished. It is finished. And he saw what God had planned. He saw what God had offered. He saw the door opening, the door of grace opening for the whosoever will. And he could have come just the way he was, with all of his sin, with all of his baggage. He could have come. But he said, you know, it's not going to move me. It's not going to move me. I don't care what I see of Calvary. I don't care what I see of this man Jesus. I don't care what I see of His love, of His power, of His grace, of His authority, of His dominion. It's not going to move me. Is that you? Is it? Doesn't matter what you're going to hear tonight. Doesn't matter what the fellows sing. It doesn't matter what the preacher preaches. You're determined. It's not going to move me. So you. That thief died on the cross that day. And there's a man in hell this evening who's there because he says, I'm not going to let the gospel move me. If that thief were able to come here this evening, stand on this platform and say but one sentence to you tonight. Just one sentence. I think this would be the sentence he would say to you this evening. Don't leave this meeting the way I left the world. You get it? Don't leave this meeting the way I left the world. Determined that nothing of God was going to move me. And finding my soul cast into a lost, Christless hell. You can be a big man or a big woman this evening if you want. Shrug your shoulders. Say, I don't need God. I don't need God. Can I tell you something? God doesn't need you. God doesn't need you. The only reason that God is coming to you this evening is because of His grace and His love for your soul. So you be a big man. You go out the door this evening and say, ha ha, sat through another gospel meeting and it didn't move me. One night will be your last gospel meeting. One night will be your last meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. One night it'll be the last opportunity to be saved. One night it'll be the last message you'll hear. And you'll go out the door like every other night. Didn't move me. And go into a lost, Christless hell. God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Will you not come this evening? Will you not trust Jesus as your Savior? Will you not find out how wonderful it is to be saved? I'm saved 40 years. You wouldn't think that to look at me. Such a young looking fella. But I'm saved 40 years. I haven't always been a brilliant Christian over those 40 years. Haven't. But my Savior's been a brilliant Savior. Every second of those 40 years. He has never faltered. He has never failed. He has never left nor forsaken. He has always cared and He has always loved and He has always restored and He has always cleansed and He has always kept. And He's always been there. Are you crying within your heart tonight, sinner? For something that's real. For something that's meaningful. For something that changes you. Changes the way you live. Changes the way you think. Changes you for time and for eternity. Jesus is the answer to your every need. Don't say tonight, it's not going to move me. But cry out, Lord, remember me. And be wonderfully and eternally saved. Amen. May God bless His word to our hearts this evening.